welcome to a very serious, very factual, 100% scientifically backed mini-sode for Plantaholic, a plant podcast where we strictly stick to plants, all things plants, and nothing ever remotely related to anything else like pollinators, which is actually the topic of this mini-sode. So that was all a lie. You're welcome.
Yep. I was going to say, if I didn't know better, I'd say that was sarcastic.
I know, I'm working on it. If anyone didn't notice that, it's okay. I probably wouldn't have either.
She's getting better, guys.
I'm working on it.
Year after year of knowing me, wearing her down.
I was raised by the most sarcastic person in the world. True. And then my best friend and my boyfriend, everyone is sarcastic around me. And here I am on my own little island, like, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Yeah. Is this serious or are we joking or is this something that's backhanded, like a sarcastic comment? I haven't figured it out.
Yes. Anyway, welcome to our second installment of our pollinator series. Today, as advertised last time, we are talking about wasps.
And if you missed it, you probably missed most of the pun battles.
Yes. Yeah.
Bad on you.
Quite all right. I think battle is kind of unnecessary
it's more like
term.
A trial and error.
Mostly
together. Like group therapy. Let's try to get together and figure something out. See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, do you want to start us off with some fun facts?
Yeah, so speaking about wasps, which we introduced the topic, right? Wasps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We did that. So wasps are really good at building things, just like bees. So if anyone thinks of a hive, wasps kind of do similar things. So they're really good at making nests, and the nests kind of differ depending on the species. I've actually come across a few different nests. On like
I was gonna say I have a collection of wasp nests from your shed.
Yeah. I have seen wasps.
And they're all different colors.
Yeah, they're really cool.
They're beautiful. Your shed has nice biodiversity.
You can have all of it. You can have my shed. I swear it's haunted. I hate it.
By the ghosts
For the longest time, I refused to step into my shed.
Yes.
Terrifying to me. There's like holes in the ceiling and like old newspapers. I don't know. There's something about an old newspaper that just makes me nervous.
Well, when it's used as insulation, I agree.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to read something I'm not going to like. I don't know.
Okay, that's
going to fall apart.
Concern.
I don't know. I just don't like it. They just make me creepy. They just remind me of like haunted movies. It's like, this is never going to end well for whoever reads this. Like, probably like cursed or something. I don't know. Something about aged paper just makes me nervous.
That is very specific.
I know. I didn't realize until just now. Like, yeah, you know what? It's just all aged paper. I don't like.
Not even specifically shed.
Not just shed newspaper, but all aged papers.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. Add that to one of my quirks. I have a long list.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Well, some examples of these structures they make are the typical, like, when we think of nests. Hexagonal cells, similar to honeybees, but these are painstakingly made from tiny little pieces of chewed up wood, and then they are enclosed in a ball shape, and they usually are suspended from tree branches or from buildings. So those are the ones I think most people associate, and sometimes confuse with beehives because of that hexagonal shape.
Whereas I
think beehives typically aren't exposed. They usually create that comb structure internally in something. That's why you see like beehive boxes, because they build that structure within things. Like they're usually in houses or in like I follow this person on Instagram who does bee extractions, and they're like in the most bizarre location. Whereas wasps are always, I think, those structures are always on the outside and the ones you can usually see. And they're usually really small. Because I think what we don't realize also with wasps is, this is another fun fact that I'll just bring up now.
Yeah. Hey.
So they're mostly, there are some colonies and some wasps that have colonies, but they're mostly solitary kind of species. So they don't, they're not very much like bees where they have a family and a colony where they kind of stick together until they have to kick the males out, which we'll go into on the bees episode. But
no, that makes sense.
There's other types of wasps like the potter wasps, which I think is a cool name. But they're also, I think, more commonly known as mason wasps. And they actually create nests in mud, which I think is really cool.
That is cool.
There's also nests that are done underground or in cavities, kind of like ant colonies. And some species of wasps will actually take advantage of existing like holes in the ground, pre-existing holes. And they're very versatile and really good just building homes. I mean, because they're like that ball shape, they kind of just hang from branches, and they're kind of just like everywhere. They can pretty much do anything anywhere. That kind of leads to paper wasps, which is they didn't invent paper, but the invention of paper could have been inspired by wasps because, it, like the, I think it was the Chinese that watched. A Chinese, they, I guess one of the legends or stories goes that 2,000 years ago, a Chinese eunuch, like, why is that recorded? why is that important?
He had a lot of paper.
Yeah, he had nothing else to do. He was a eunuch. He has to watch wasps. What else is he going to do? I'm going to say his name wrong. Kai Lun watched a wasp skillfully build a paper nest in his garden. And they created it by chewing up wood and collecting it in mouth and kind of turning it into paper. And he was inspired to experiment with wood mulch, which eventually created paper. So maybe was a wasp that inspired the invention of paper. If this story,
I remember. This is related, but not. I remember one of our plant classes. I can't remember which one, but. They were talking about the paper bark tree. The
It would write on it, wouldn't it? Because it absorbs ink well.
Yeah. So they would take the bark because it was like that. The strips would just come off like paper, and that was. I can't remember if they were saying like that was one of the first like quote unquote papers or something like that. That was not interesting. Anyway, carry on.
If you have a paper bark tree. Feel free to write on it.
Try it.
It isn't.
Yeah. I always wanted to do that, but I never
did. I thought we did.
I took some, and then I forgot.
Oh, I feel like we...
Oh, we might have done it in
I think we did it in class, and I don't it worked as well as we thought it would, or something.
No. Yeah, I don't... I can't recall what happened, but anyway.
Yeah, I can't remember, but I remember we were going to do it, or we did do it, or something.
Yeah.
But maybe because we didn't have our ballpoint was...
Yes.
The right
I left my quill at home.
Yeah. I had my quill. I just didn't use it for my art.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
So paper wasps are another type of wasp, and they kind of create these, like, I don't know if anyone's seen them, but they kind of look like, I think that's what you have.
Your structures I was going to say, that's what I'm familiar with.
Yeah. Those ones, like I've
seen.
It's
almost like a spinning top.
Yeah.
But it's made out of paper looking stuff.
Yeah, those like are made by a tornado type of. Yeah. Or like it looks kind of like a ball of yarn. It's really fine.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Beautiful. And ooh, I should post a picture like a of my wasp collection. One of them fell apart. I can't figure out how to display them. Anyway.
Ornaments.
Ooh,
or like as like a mobile or something. Mobile.
Yeah. I feel like they're gonna
fall apart.
Yeah, but I like them. Anyway.
Maybe if you like hairspray them or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, in retrospect, I probably shouldn't put them all in the same jar then put it in my suitcase.
Well, maybe my shed will probably create more. It's a
That's true.
The vortex of wasps.
Send them my way.
Yeah. I'll spray them with hairspray for you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Because I have so much of that at home.
Yes.
Yeah, so another fun fact is that wasps are nature's natural pest control. So they chomp their way through many crop pests, like aphids. So they eat a lot of crop pests, but like aphids. But with aphids, this is kind of cool. So they're not actually eaten by the adult aphids. They're actually collected by the female adult workers and then fed back to the larva. So they're kind of like collected.
That's cool.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was really interesting. I didn't know that they did that. That's pretty cool. They're
I just thought they ate
baby snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so according to the Natural History Museum in London, social wasps, which is a species of wasps in the UK, are estimated to capture about 14 million kilograms of insect prey annually. And that includes aphids, caterpillars, and so that's a lot of pest prevention. So they play a really big role in the garden and are actually used deliberately by farmers in agricultural settings.
Yeah good.
Kind of similar to bees, so it's kind of like bees are like for the pollinating and sometimes wasps are used for pest. But I do know that wasps will infiltrate beehives. That's kind of an issue sometimes.
Yeah, there can be some conflict of interest there. I mean, anytime you bring in, like, a, you know, something else to another species to control another species that's already a problem, sometimes there can be more issues created than resolved.
Whenever we try to pretend to be Mother Nature,
trial and error, speaking of.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes we've made that we can't undo.
Yes.
Have you heard of the cane toad?
Oh my god, yes.
That is like the world's biggest mistake. Australia knows what we're talking about.
Oh yeah, and there's a great documentary on it.
It's so good. I think I've watched that one.
It's like the Monty Python of documentaries. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing the way it's just like, this was a bad idea.
Yeah. Very matter of fact and hilarious. Anyway. Wasps.
So another wasp fact is some wasps will actually produce mind-altering venom. And this is one of the wasp species, jewel wasp, or another name is emerald cockroach wasp. It's really beneficial to humans because they keep population of pest cockroaches down. And they're beautiful. So they're like emerald green. And their targets are usually cockroaches. But they attack and sting the cockroach with a mind-altering venom. And this makes the cockroach completely helpless. And then the wasp lays... Okay, this is gross. So if you have a queasy stomach when it comes to insects, which is pretty much any insect fact, I'm just giving you a quick trigger warning. So
that's nice of you.
Yeah, you're welcome. The wasp will then lay its eggs on the leg of the cockroach, which, despite being stung multiple times, is still alive. And then this jewel wasp larva will work its way into the abdomen of the cockroach and develop inside the body and eat it from the inside. It's like a zombie situation.
Yep.
So they like make them paralyzed and then like use their bodies as baby making.
Breeding ground.
Cribs. They're like, you're now my crib. Thank you for laying there nice,
donating your body
from my attack. So that is creepy, disgusting, but also very interesting.
Yeah,
this beautiful emerald wasp is like kind of disgusting and sadistic,
but interesting.
Yeah, and kind of on that topic, most wasps are actually not yellow, black, and stripy like we like. I think I forgot the species that everyone associates with that. Typical wasp look.
Yellow jackets.
Yes, probably. That's the one I'm thinking. Yeah. So it's estimated that only about 1% of all wasps actually have that color. Oh, and so there's wasps that have jewel colored, like the jeweled, the emerald colored one we just talked about. There's also shades of red, orange, brown, and some that have like white markings even on the legs. And many wasps are black and look kind of like tiny flies too. Which kind of leads to another fact. The smallest known insect in the world is a wasp. So that's why they can be kind of be confused with flies, because they can actually be very, very small. The
smallest insect or the smallest pollinator?
The smallest known insect in the
world. Wow. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Possibly the smallest pollinator.
Along those lines.
So these wasps are referred to as the fairy fly or the fairy wasp. And they're I'm gonna say this wrong, Calcid wasps in the Mimiridae family. And a number of these species within this family range from like half a millimeter to a millimeter in length. But the smallest, which is the Dicomerpha echocomerphagis. I said that wrong. I'm not an entomologist.
It
doesn't matter. Is actually believed to be less than half a millimeter long at 0.14 millimeters, making it the smallest known insect. And these tiny wasps actually play a big role in agriculture, and they help by laying their eggs in crop pests. So kind of, it seems like a very similar action. Wasps lay their eggs in things.
Yeah.
So I guess they probably do something very similar. Well, they lay their eggs in a pest and destroy that pest in the process.
Yeah. And I was trying to figure out just, I know the term parasitic wasp, but is that just a group of... Oh, yeah, that's just a group of wasps. Okay, that makes more sense. I think that just refers to all the ones that lay eggs on other creatures or living things.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of them do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if the big wasp would be considered parasitic. I don't think so. I feel like that would be more of a...
It's a gall wasp, actually, which kind of leads me into my only contribution here. I just wanted to bring up gall wasps again, because I did talk about that. I think it was just my planner action 1 week, but there are a lot of wasps that lay their eggs, again, within something. In this case, on leaves. Specifically, the one that I found one day was an oak gall. Oak apple, I think, is the fun, cute name for them. But essentially, but all it is the wasp lays its eggs on a leaf, and that their eggs, there's like a chemical in there that makes the leaf actually grow faster, and it grows into what almost looks like, and I would describe it as like an orange shape, like, or like a maybe like a mandarin orange size, and it that's what encases the larvae of the wasp, and they eat themselves out once they're matured. So that's kind of another, I don't know, I just found it fascinating. Like, we saw some on rose plants. That's another one that's pretty common for them to have that interaction with. So it's just this really cool, like, kind of symbiotic relationship, I guess, between these really random species and wasps. And then figs are another one, if you're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I'll talk about that now. Kind of the same thing. Yeah, so they have a very similar relationship. So a fig, we found out, I did not know this, technically not a fig.
Yeah.
It's an inverted flower, which has a very specific name. And I will tell you what that is.
So it's kind of like a modified stem, I would almost describe it as, because it's the flower, it's not an external flower. The wasp has to dig through the stem to get to the flower. So it's technically within the stem, which is very unusual for, flowers. Right.
they describe it as, and this is like sources on
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, a pod. So we wouldn't have,
like, it's a pod that's created that has big blooms inside. So it's almost like a bulb that's coming off the stem, and then which has flowers inside, and then the wasp will. So it depends on the type of fig. So a lot of you know how most fruiting trees have male and female species. So depending on if it's a male or female, they have different types of pollinators. So some require a special breed of wasp, like the fig wasp, to pollinate the female trees. So the female wasp will crawl inside through a hole that's so narrow that she actually loses her wings the process and actually gets trapped. And so but if the fig is male, she'll lay her eggs inside, and these will then hatch into larvae that burrow out and turn into wasps. And and those wasps will carry the fig pollen with them. So it does become it's more of a symbiotic relationship more than I think
More than the galls.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If the wasp climbs into a female fig, she just pollinates it, but can't lay her eggs and just dies by herself.
Right. So, every time you eat a fig, guys, you're eating some dead wasps.
But but the crunchy bits aren't the wasps; they're the seeds.
No. I'm sure they are gone by the time you eat them.
Yeah, the female fig that produces an enzyme that digests the wasp.
Whereas
so the other ones, everything leaves, but it's just the female fig that will devour that female wasp. But it's interesting because I never realized wasp doesn't know the species of the fig or the gender of the fig. They kind of go in and find out the hard way. So that's I didn't know that. Am I trapped or am I procreating?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a question for all of us. Now that I think about it, I feel like we all deal with this same question. Am I trapped or am I procreating? Right now, I'm trapped. I don't know if I'll be procreating. Thank you, the economy. Thank you, COVID.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Too real, too real. Oh man.
Where is my wait. It's on the other monitor. Another fact are that wasps are the ancestors of bees. So some species of bees can actually be mistaken for wasps. Stephen Falk, you know him, that guy.
I mean,
so
do you even need to say his name?
Falk. Oh, Falky. Well, he's the author of A Field Guide to Bees of Great Britain. You know, that page turner.
Obviously.
Of Great Britain and Ireland.
Oh,
even more widespread. So, he says that there is little doubt that within the Apoidea, this guy, Falky, whatever that means, the hunting wasp came first and provided an ancestor that gave rise to bees. He apparently theorizes that the wasp was the
same first.
Yeah, the ancestors to bees. And it's interesting because we'll talk more about bees later. These are just it's a great topic. Yeah. So there's theories out there that connect, I don't know if it's all lines of bees or certain species of bees, but Stephen Falk.
All right.
Hunting wasp came first.
Steve has his friends
Steve. Oh, Steve. The Book of Steve.
That's what I was thinking of.
I know.
I forgot what it was called.
Another fact is Social wasp colonies operate in a similar fashion to honeybee colonies. So I think I mentioned before, not all wasps are colonizers. A lot of them are solitary. Right. So, but the ones that do have colonies have thousands of members, and they're very similar to honeybee colonies, where they have one egg-laying queen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just clean, like, no.
Of course.
Yeah, this is what happens. And then
the cleaner wasp.
The clean queen. The queen of clean. They have many workers and male wasps, and they all work hard to support the colony and build a nest and forage for food. But the worker mm-hmm. wasps don't mate, but they can actually lay eggs, which is different from
bees.
And all the eggs of the laid worker wasps will actually create the males. So that's different from bees as well. But that's very rare. They're mostly solitary. There's just a few species. But I didn't know that. I didn't know anything.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's what I got on wasps.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well,
sounds good. All right. So just to wrap this up, our next pollinator episode will be about bees.
Yeah.
Kind of to be determined as far as how specific we're going to get with bees. We may break that up into a couple smaller segments.
Yeah, because we can go into detail.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. It's like probably the most studied pollinator out there.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They made a bee movie.
Oh my god, I could do a whole podcast just on that movie.
You know what?
It was so bad, so amazing.
We should do a bee episode, a mini-sode, and then a bee movie episode.
Okay. That's happening.
Yeah.
Because, just the best.
So good.
So good. So good. Not accurate, but just fantastic.
Amazingly made.
Oh my goodness.
So much about all right, just the title alone.
Oh yeah, I mean, that sums it up so perfectly. All right, ready for some bee puns?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, and go.
Honey, I'm here for the puns.
We better comb through our material next time.
I want to colonize this, make it my own.
I believe in you.
Well, doesn't that just stink? I need to comb my hair more often. That's for sure.
We were just talking about that.
Do these stripes make my body look big? We need a thorax.
Yep, bringing it again.
That last one.
Maybe abdomen some facts.
That would be better.
Don't put a hexagon on me.
Ooh, I like that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plantaholics. Hope you can join us next week for more plant talk. In the meantime, you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook or visit our website at plantaholicspodcast.com.
Thanks, everyone.
See you next time.